See all of you here this morning. It is such an encouragement to see such a large group of Christians here to worship the Lord and serve Him. And it's an encouragement every day to see that. And I'm glad to be here with you. There is a war that we're all in the midst of, whether we know it or not. We're on a side, whether we know it or not. Whether it is the right side, or the side in which leads to death. It's a spiritual warfare. It is not physical in nature. And even those in the world that have no idea of any of these things which I'm talking about are in the midst of this warfare and often working against us in order for us to get to heaven. 1 Timothy 1, verses 18 through 19 says, This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience. What is this good warfare we're talking about? This fight between good and evil that has been since the beginning of time. We remember Adam and Eve, those that were deceived by the devil in the garden, and they ate of that tree in which they were told not to. And it seems that that is the beginning of this warfare in which is waged. This warfare that we go through each and every day of our lives. The temptations that are present, and the things that we must withstand, and the tribulations and trials we go through in this road, on this journey to heaven. These things that we must withstand in order to see God in the end. In the spiritual warfare, we have the side of God, who wants us to be saved. He desires all men everywhere to come to the knowledge of the truth. He desires us to be in heaven with Him someday. Acts 17, verse 30 through 31 says, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." God wants us to be saved, and He commands us to repent. It is not something that is just a choice that we have that will lead to salvation, whether we choose to obey God or not. But He commands us, and it is an obligation that we have to serve Him and to obey that command, to repent and to obey the gospel and be obedient toward Him. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 4 said, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." He desires us to be with Him in heaven someday. He desires us to be saved. And He set that up in sending His Son for us. There's the side of God in this spiritual warfare. But then there's the devil. And he wants us to fail. He sees God and he knows what God stands for. He understands the scripture and he understands what we are willing to do to serve God and to get to heaven. And he's going to do anything in his power, anything that he can do to bring us down. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." The devil wants us to fail. That metaphor we see there, that he walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We might think of that as a very scary thought, this ferocious lion, this beast of the ground that walks about and preys on these living things. The devil's not going to be telling us he's coming. He's not going to appear to us and tell us the things in which he has planned to bring us down. He's going to be crouching down as a lion does in the grass. He's going to be hiding from his prey and waiting for that opportunity, that perfect moment to pounce on that prey. He's seeking whom he may devour. He knows our weaknesses. He knows ways to deceive us and to bring us down. And we must be aware of this, that we are all part of this spiritual war. The flesh, which wars against the soul. We see these desires in our life, these things that are contrary to the spirit, these things that are evident, the works of the devil, his devices, his ways in which to bring us down. And these are all evident. First Peter 2 and verse 11 says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." It's evident that these things are of the devil. And these things are his ways in which to bring us down in the spiritual warfare. These are his offenses that he uses to bring us down. And we see that in this verse. If you would turn to Galatians chapter 5 and verses 16, we start to read about these fleshly lusts. Galatians 5 and verse 16. We have the fortunate awareness of these fleshly lusts, these things which are trying to lead us away from God and to lead us to that side which the devil is on. And we see this in the scripture, and it talks about these fleshly lusts, and we are aware of them now, and we can avoid them and cling to those godly things. It says in verse 16, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." We see these fleshly lusts. We see these desires that are in this life that are put in place by the devil to deceive us, to bring us into that death of sin. But we are aware of them, and we are aware of a consequence if we follow these fleshly lusts. If we abide by these things that we read here, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. But followers of God are to fight back. And we see this in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. We know of the armor of God that we are to put on. These things that are made aware of us by God, He gives us these things in order to wage this good warfare, in order to apply to our lives, in order to surround ourselves with, so that when the devil comes to us and tries to deceive us, we can understand and know that his way is not the way to salvation. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 12 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." We are to fight back in this war. In this war against the devil, in this war against good and evil, we have an obligation and we have a right to fight back in order to further ourselves in this kingdom of God and His righteousness in order to get to heaven. We must choose a side in this war. Whether you know it or not, you've already chosen a side. Now, that is not a permanent decision at this time. Because we are not promised tomorrow, it is very important for you to understand this lesson and understand the material that we're going over here, that this is a spiritual war. And in the end, we all know who's going to be a triumphant, and that is God and His throne in heaven. But we must choose a side in that war. Romans 6 and verse 16 says, "Do you not know that whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness?" It's evident in your life which side you're on. If you are obeying those lusts of the flesh, you are slaves to that sin. You are in bondage of that sin, and you need to release yourself from that and cling to those things which are righteous. You should be slaves to obedience and righteousness, as it says here in verse 16 of Romans 6. God has set up these things for us to do, these works for us to go through, these things to show our obedience to Him and our faith to Him. And we should be choosing His side in this war. The Lord does not accept the ones who are unsure, the ones who are in the world, and then on Sundays they come to church and they're living a Christian life in front of those who are aware of their situation, but when they go away from the brethren, they're in sin. God does not accept these. You have to be obedient in full submissiveness to God. Revelation 3 in verse 15 and 16 says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. The Lord does not accept halfway worshiping Him, halfway being obedient to Him. He calls us all to full submission to His will, to His Word. And He sets this up to where we know what we have to do. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This book, the Bible we have, is for us to know what to do to please Him. And we must take advantage of that. The devil's only concern is that we fail. He doesn't care about us. He just wants us to fail. He does not want us to succeed, to reach that crown of life which we are promised if we are obedient to God. He's going to do everything He can to bring us down. We need to be aware of this. We need to be aware of these fleshly lusts which war against us. We have defense and offense in this world war, though. God sets up these things for us to abide in, that lead us away from these things and that defend ourselves from these things in which the devil has for us. We read of the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, as we were just reading, in verse 11 through 17. If you would turn with me there, Ephesians 6. We are fortunate to know this armor of God and these things which can help us fight this battle and these things which will help us succeed. Beginning in verse 11 of Ephesians 6, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." We have this armor of God that we are to put on, these things which will help us in this fight. Every soldier has a weapon that is offensive, that he uses to fight the enemy, and then he has these defensive things, a shield that reflects the arrows that are shot at him, these things that come to him, and he has that protection, and we have this defense and offense in this war. First of all, the truth. It says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth." John 8, verse 31 through 32 says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" What is this truth? This truth that is being talked about is the gospel, the good news in which has been brought to us, the way to salvation, the way to eternal life. And if we abide in this truth, then we are set free from that sin and that bondage of the old law, that bondage of sin that is evident in the devil's devices in which he's trying to bring us down. Righteousness. That righteousness in which we are to obtain, that we are to strive for, to be righteous as Jesus was, to be righteous as God is. Matthew 5 and verse 6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." We are promised good things if we search for that righteousness. If we try to be righteous in God's eyes, if we try to do those things which are good, if we put on this armor of God and fight the good fight. The preparation of the gospel of peace. We are all to be aware of the Scripture, to understand it, to be able to teach it. It's the most important work in this life. We are here to serve God and keep His commandments, and He commands us to teach all men everywhere of the gospel. It's our obligation as Christians. It's our responsibility. Romans 10, verse 14 through 15 says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." The gospel of peace is a weapon in this war. A very important weapon, one that we must all be aware of and be diligently seeking and learning about. We have this Bible for a reason. As I said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for all these things. It's a tool that we must use, and if we're not using it, we're only hurting ourselves. Faith. This faith that saves us. We are to have faith in Christ. We are to have faith in God. 1 John 5 and 4 says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." If we have faith in Christ, if we have faith in this gospel, then we are going to be obedient. We are going to show our faith by our obedience. And we are going to walk in a righteous way, the ways in which are set before us. It says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Our faith overcomes the world because Christ has overcome the world. And we can have faith in Him that He will give us that crown of life He promises if we are obedient to Him. Salvation. That assurance, that rest, and that peace that is offered to us. In the end, that is all we're all working for, is that salvation. Hebrews 5:9. "And having been perfected, He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him." Christ is the author of that salvation. He was the perfect sacrifice. He died for us. And He purchased our place in heaven. But we are to obey Him, and He promises us that salvation. And the Word of God, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 and 17, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." This is a very important part as a Christian. This Word of God which we have, this is where we find our instruction. This is where we find what we must do to please God. This is where we find how it is to be a Christian. We must be diligently seeking that and learning that and applying it to our lives so that when we have these temptations, these trials and tribulation that are present in this war, this spiritual war that we are fighting, we can defend ourselves against it. We can be aware of what to look for. And in the conclusion of this war, we all know who will win. The Lord will be triumphant in this war. 1 John 5, verses 2 through 6 says, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth." We read of that Spirit and truth, and we read that God has overcome the world. Already, before the end of time has even come, we know who will win. We know the side we need to be on. We know the side that will be triumphant in this end. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." If we have Christ in our lives, and if we are showing that by our obedience, and we are submissive to him, then he is in our lives, and he is greater than the world. We must not fear the world, but we must be aware of the things in the world so that we can avoid them, so that we can cling to Christ, and to be of Him so that He can be in us and we are greater than that which is in the world. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 53 through 57 says, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's inevitable that the death will be swallowed up in victory and that Hades will not be victorious. He will fail. Now, he will take some of us with him into hell because he's trying every day. He will not give up, but we shouldn't give up either. We should continue in this righteousness. We should continue in this war to fight that good fight of faith. And we should be able to say that we have fought that good fight and finished the race, and we shall receive that crown of life. We are in the midst of a war. Like I said, whether you know it or not, you have chosen a side. Make sure it's the right side. Make sure it's Christ. Make sure it's God. Make sure it's that righteousness. Make sure you are on the side that will be victorious. Make sure you will be seen in heaven with God in the end. If you would turn to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. This is a great passage of assurance that we know that Christ has overcome the world. We know that if we are in Him, we will be victorious. And we know that nothing can separate us from Him. Romans 8 and verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a passage that we can read to have assurance that if we are diligent and faithful and that we prove ourselves to be obedient to Him, nothing can separate us from God. Nothing can separate us from His love. And we know that He will be victorious. And if we follow Him and are obedient to Him, then we will receive that crown of life. And we will be victorious as well. I'm going to offer the invitation at this time to whoever is in this place today who has been unaware of this spiritual war that is being waged.